Chapter 1. Sources within Blizzard reveal disturbing new allegations.
Well, 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 do I have a monstrous update for you on the Activision Blizzard internal battle going on, including I have now confirmed that there is a walkout planned for tomorrow, July 28th, 2021, and I'm with them. I also want, you know, before I get into the really unfortunate stuff, I want to shout out to, obviously, the overwhelming majority of Blizzard employees that are awesome people. I think that I've done a poor job in the past differentiating between the grinders, the people that make the thing go there, and the executives or the political alignments of that company. And I apologize for that. I believe very strongly that the number may be as high as 99% of employees at Blizzard are good people. Even if, like, we disagree on political things or whatever. I mean, just in general, good people trying to make video games, working for a company that they love, and that they are genuinely heartbroken at, you know, quite honestly, the egg they must wear on their faces because of the decisions that their company is making. It's not, you know, Joe Coder or Jane QA's fault that some cringelord C-level manager is groping women. But when they go out in public and they say they work at Blizzard for the next how many weeks, this is the response that they're going to get. Ooh, I heard about that. And that's not fair, and that sucks. So, you know, you have my support, Blizzard employees, and to the maybe 25 or 30 of you that have emailed me, you know, I support you, and I appreciate you sharing the advice or information or helping confirm stories and rumors that I've heard. Now, let's start with yet another person coming out and slamming Activision Blizzard. WoW and Diablo composer slams Activision Blizzard amid lawsuit. Thousands of Activision Blizzard employees have come forward about their working experiences during the ongoing suit. Beloved composer Russell Brower, who worked on WoW, StarCraft, and Diablo franchises, has also made his thoughts very clear. He came out and changed his banner. He joins former Blizzard co-founder and President Mike Morhaime, as well as over a thousand current employees, denouncing the company's treatment of their staff. Here's the thing about Mike. From everyone I talked to, he knew about all of this. He knew about all of it. That's what I'm told by both current and former Blizzard employees. Retracting the claims made in the suit, the composer altered his Twitter biography to read composer, music director, conductor, World of Warcraft, Diablo, StarCraft. I wish I could get those 12 years of my life back. Before the news dropped, that second sentence wasn't there. His cover image is also the iconic Jade Blizzard logo with bright red no entry sign across it, making his sentiment towards the company very, very clear. And again, most of the people at the top knew. In fact, I talked about this yesterday. Blizzard Dev says some men were also subject to the bad behavior. Shortly after the news broke, one male former Blizzard developer shared on Twitter that he had experienced bad behavior from other men at the company. The developer said that it included unwanted shoulder rubbing, hookup proposals, conversations about hooking up in front of colleagues who stayed silent. The issues weren't, however, taken to HR, this individual said, because they believed that it would lead them to become general gossip around the office. When he told other colleagues, they excused it, he said. Kevin Meyer, whose LinkedIn page said he's a personnel manager at Blizzard but appears to have left, said in a TikTok video that the claims against the company are true. The TikTok, which made its rounds on Reddit and Twitter, reaffirms many of the claims made out in the California complaint and says the harassment was endemic. in Activision Blizzard's response, they said this does not represent Blizzard is. Meyer said, yes, it does, and has for a long time. Since my first day back in 2012, I was harassed, and women have it way worse. He was criticized by some former Blizzard employees of engaging in the toxic behavior himself, though it isn't entirely clear what the nature of those claims were. He did not immediately respond to requests for comments. See, here's the thing. I've been talking to both male and female Blizzard employees, and one particular female who I'm sure will want to remain anonymous, I asked her about this. I said, how does this happen? How does, like, you know, my general approach to this going into it was like, it's just kids being kids. Probably just a couple of snowflakes getting upset about things. And I'm sure that there are some of that. But I said, how does this happen where everybody in the office is just getting hammered and, you know, there's, you know, bad things happening and nobody seems to think that any of it's wrong? And she told me something pretty interesting. She basically said, when you're in it, it feels normal. You think it's normal. And it's not until you leave and you get in another environment where you're like, whoa, actually, that was pretty messed up. And that's indicative of what a lot of people were sharing with me via email. Now I want to get to what sounds like one of the worst, the absolute worst people involved in all of this. I want to be very careful because this person is powerful, well-connected, but I did my due diligence. I received very similar stories from several employees and confirmed it with both former and current employees. Some of these employees have been there over the last 15 years, so they would know. Over the last 5 or 10 years. This stuff is not, it's an open secret, essentially, inside of Blizzard is what I'm told. I'm told that there's this clandestine there is this air of secrecy. You're in this club, so you don't say anything. But I had been receiving tips on the same C-level employee over and over again. Now, C-level is like at the same level as the CEO, okay? You're talking about at a company in Blizzard size, maybe two or three positions at the C-level. This is the executive of the executive. The only person over C-level would be, in some org charts, the president. And then, of course, the board of directors. But they're not involved in the day-to-day. This person came very well-decorated, working on some of the most popular games you'd ever heard of. Okay. So I've been hearing some things. An employee came through, and here are some of the claims that have been corroborated by both male and female employees, whom I've spoke with directly, via Telegram, Discord, email, and phone calls. Here's a personal anecdote. One day I came into work and there was an email from Morheim that quietly mentioned this person didn't work here anymore, which I thought was odd because usually there's a long, we wish you the best kind of email, especially when you have this like high level person no longer coming through. Turns out the HR rep, and I'm not going to say her name, who also happened to be incredibly attractive, was sleeping with him. She was fired first, which, first of all, is messed up. When you find out an employee's hooking up with a manager or boss, first of all, that person in the higher position, they're definitely gone. But in most cases, it's both. I've gone through this at several companies I've worked at, and in every case, both people were terminated, including at one company I worked at, the vice president was hooking up with his assistant. What an idiot. Anyway, then it came out that this dude was having private parties where he would privately hand select only Asian women around the office to come to these parties. when they got there, he would grope them and do God knows what else. The guy has scrubbed his online presence, can't find anything about him at all. In fact, the LinkedIn still says he works there. This same person also shared stories about all sorts of other issues. Now, I'm going to open the app that I used to confirm this. Hold on a second. Because I then asked another, because this is such a bombshell statement that, and this is not public. Nobody knows this yet. And that, unless you work there, of course. I then asked a female employee that I think is, if I'm remembering correct, is still currently employed. I shared that section of the anecdote and I said, does this jive with what you've heard? Her reply simply, this is true. I said, how do they keep a lid on all of this? Her reply, he was fired after enough allegations came out and the alcohol policy was put in place simply because of that. There's a culture of secrecy. People think talking about these things is some sort of NDA violation. On top of that, the fact that people are scared of these folks. They have the power to destroy someone's career. This dude was hooking up with multiple women at the company, and he had them all convinced that they were special. By the way, this is a C-level employee. You're talking at the tippity top of this company. I said, just look the guy up. Just look the guy up. Doesn't, not much to look at. I'm going to make sure that this sees the side of light of the day. Then this person, it was a claimed, and by the way, I'd heard this at least twice before, that this C-level person had made some sort of comments about selling women for hookup experiences. I don't know if that was referring to internal employees. I'm assuming it was. This never saw the light of day inside of Blizzard. It's out there now. Of course, I'll share the name with the proper authorities should they ask. But this, you should be, I mean, this is a big dude at the company. There's no doubt that Mike Morheim knew about it. And now he's out there pretending like, oh, well, these creeps. Ooh, if only I knew. They all knew. It's disgusting.
Chapter 2. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the moment you've all been waiting for. An exclusive Ghostbusters Afterlife trailer reaction. Take it away, Jeremy.
I know this probably won't be my most popular video, but I am a huge fan of Ghostbusters. I have merch everywhere. Every Funko Pop related to the Ghostbusters. I even have this on the floor right next to me. I have this special edition Spectral from the real Ghostbusters cartoon. By the way, still holds up if you haven't watched it. I mean, I've got the crossover Transformers Ecto-1. Ghostbusters is probably, it's easily in my top three movies of all time. You know, there's Ghostbusters, there's Tombstone, and I don't know, everything else. It's a movie that I will always watch. It's never really on TV though, a couple times a year maybe. Of course, I have the 4K Ultra of whatever, you know, ultraviolet DVD stupid idiot edition that I bought. But I have been, you know, a vocal skeptic and detractor of Ghostbusters Afterlife. Ghostbusters 3 was the Ghostbusters Xbox 360 video game. There are people that have cut together all the cutscenes from that game on YouTube. Watch it. It's awesome. Better yet, play the game. You get to experience. There's lots of little Easter eggs inside the game and all sorts of stuff like that that are great. Today we got Ghostbusters Afterlife, like the official trailer. I have not watched it. I brought it up here. Of course, I'm sure this video will get claimed. That's okay, though. What I'm hoping is that you'll enjoy this. Now, I'm not going to go full screen on this, but let's see. Okay, so Ghostbusters tweeted this out 8 a.m. this morning. He came here for a reason, watched the new trailer for Ghostbusters Afterlife. Now, I've been on record saying that this actor was a poor choice because it's just going to make whatever happens feel like Stranger Things. And of course, this morning, I saw Stranger Things trending. So let's take a look. Oh, turn up a little bit. Just jump right into it. So they're showing that new, it's not Slimer. I see a lot of people say, is that supposed to be Slimer? No, it's a different ghost.
You're a great mom.
I don't know. I'm fine with Trevor, but with Phoebe, she really keeps me on the outside.
That's normal.
The aesthetic, by the way, really doesn't do him any favors to not, you know, being like Stranger Things.
An awkward, nerdy kid.
Maybe a new home can be an opportunity to start fresh. I just wish he'd get into some trouble.
There's still time.
What are you doing here in Somerville anyway?
We're completely broke, and our grandfather left us this creepy old farmhouse in the middle of nowhere.
Your father wasn't.
Yeah. Love it. Original cast.
Much of a homemaker.
He could hardly keep the parents.
Hey! Any pots, right?
He wasn't much of a homemaker.
He could hardly keep the power on.
You're saying he left us nothing?
Well, I wouldn't say nothing.
You went with station wagon?
It's the only one that had an engine.
It's a teenager knows how to fix an engine. Yeah.
What is happening here?
Somehow, a town with no fault lines is shaking on a daily basis.
We've seen a lot of this. We've seen almost all of this.
Maybe it's the apocalypse. Egon came out here for a reason.
Are you troubled by strange noises?
Yeah.
You experience feelings of dread in your basement or attic?
Have you or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
That looks good.
You guys hear that?
Something's coming.
What was that?
Something's coming.
You guys hear that?
It's like humanoid.
Something's coming.
The whole city took the Walking Dead.
Hey, that guy. Isn't that the guy for the taxi cab driver?
The whole city. Walking Dead.
Walnut. Hey, the gargoyles. A trap, an RC controlled trap. Very cool.
We're ready to believe you.
The phone.
We're closed.
Oh, that was Dan Aykroyd, wasn't it?
We're closed.
I think that was
We're
Aykroyd.
Ready to believe you.
Does he sell, what is this, comic books or something? Or occult books? Is that Aykroyd? I'm almost certain.
We're closed.
Ah! Don't do this to me. Don't give me hope. I mean, don't give me hope. Don't give me hope. Now, of course, let's see. Let's just see. Ghostbusters fans in 2016. This new Ghostbusters movie trailer looks unfunny. Ghostbusters in 2021. This completely humorless Ghostbuster trailer is perfect and totally represents the 1984 comedy Ghostbusters. Cringe! I mean, the lead in the new Ghostbusters movie is a girl, and no one's complaining about it because the movie doesn't look like a crappy all-female Ghostbusters from 2016. It begins already. I wish the 2016 one got more respect. It had so much going for it and deserved a sequel. The movie lost money. There was a Ghostbusters in 20... The worst part of the new Ghostbusters trailer dropping is going to be watching the Twitter reignite Ghostbusters 2016 all over again. Sometimes I think Twitter is Groundhog Day loop, but we're doomed to argue over things that happened in 2016 forever. No. Yeah, of course. Look, Ghostbusters 2016 was an abomination. This particular video or trailer, how do I say? There's so many member berries in it. There's so many member berries. Like, I mean, am I gonna go see it now? I mean, it looks pretty good. If they use, like, Aykroyd, I don't want them to disrespect the original characters. Finally, fans got a glimpse of some of the original gang back in iconic roles. Written by Jason Reitman, the plot revolves around the family of Egon Spengler, who is played by the late, beloved Harold Ramis, discovering his hidden lab at the family farm around the same time ghosts long since thought to have been eradicated return. Like most projects, Ghostbusters Afterlife was pushed. Let's see what the YouTube response is. Probably overwhelmingly positive. 17K to 500 down. 500 down's not insignificant. Yeah, yo, Ray's still running his occult bookstore. Nice. I really hope that, like... Oh, yeah, you see, Ray's occult bookstore makes a grand return. Okay, fine. I'm gonna see it. What do you think? It's not just... You gotta go into it. I gotta go into it thinking, like, this is not Ghostbusters 3. This has to be a good enough movie on its own for it to be good. It can't just say Ghostbusters and give us a few member berries. God, I hope it's good.
Chapter 3. The saga of Kevin Smith and He-Man continues. Insulting fans yet again, driving further divide within the community.
I think we're probably reaching the end of the story arc of the first half of Kevin Smith versus the fandom. And it's been amazing. It's been a wild ride. I've really enjoyed reading all your comments. I've enjoyed watching his meltdowns. I've enjoyed watching the multiple articles coming out in defense of Kevin Smith. I've enjoyed having something new and interesting and different to talk about, to be honest with you. And I appreciate you all for it. And everyone that clicked that red subscribe button during this run, or who already had, thank you very much. Just a quick check-in. Master of the Universe Revelation, currently sitting at a 33 audience score. Now, I'm told that Rotten Tomatoes has, in fact, locked these scores, but it's difficult to know. I mean, when you click on this, nothing really seems to be changing. You know, it just kind of seems to be the same sort of thing. Just a measly, I don't know what it was yesterday, like 2,300. So another 600 reviews come in. Overall, very terrible. You know, you could just see the heartbreak in these comment sections. And it didn't have to be that way. But now Kevin Smith has responded by telling fans to grow the F up. It's all just a big misunderstanding, according to GamesRadar. Kevin Smith responds to Masters of the Universe Revelation review brigading. Oh yeah, 3,000 reviews. That's really a coordinated attempt to ruin your show, I'm sure. It's just all just a big misunderstanding. Kevin Smith is himself a self-confessed fanboy who loves to deep dive into the world of comics, movies, and TV with a dedicated passion. Well, because that's what he does to make money. So when he was approached by Mattel to adapt Masters of the Universe of Revelation, he jumped at the chance, even though he himself said he wasn't a fan of the show and that he, quote unquote, had no love. Dedicated fans took to Twitter to immediately denounce Smith and the show for its treatment of Prince Adam. The general consensus among devotees find fault with the fact that Smith promised a continuation of the He-Man story. No one wants to see a character other than He-Man. How dare he? Well, you get the picture. It's understandable to hear fans' outrage, but it turns out he's alive. Well, again, it's like, does anybody in the media actually watch the videos that get made or listen to the reasons why people are angry? Because it sure seems like that's not the case. Because, again, it isn't like people just wanted He-Man only and no other possible storylines. It's that it was hardly He-Man. That He-Man was rarely in his own show. But it's like the media just doesn't want to acknowledge that fact. I see people going online, hey man, they're getting rid of He-Man, Smith said during a conversation with Variety. Like, you really effing think Mattel Television, who hired me and paid me money, wants to do an effing Masters of the Universe without He-Man? Grow the F up, man. Like, that blew my mind. A bunch of people being like, oh, I smell it. That's a bait and switch. Adds Chris Woods, who voiced He-Man, Adam's not dead. He's very wounded. If you want to light the whole world on fire in terms of destroying fandom, you'd take He-Man out and be like, that's it, he's gone, bye. Now, what they've done is found a really interesting way to turn the dynamics of the show on its head and raise the stakes to a point the original never saw. Well, the original was never really known for its deep writing. It was made to sell toys, and I've said many, many times that I admit that most myself and most people probably remember the show in a state that it probably never existed in. That, you know, we remember it as this perfect thing that it probably was a pretty mediocre to bad television show back in the day. But what you can't ignore is the fact that this is yet another property getting revived and reused and retreaded with modern tropes, and that's not what anybody wants. People look back fondly at things like He-Man because it was a different era, because, you know, that back then in like G.I. Joe, remember, like G.I. Joe died when they stopped associating with a real American hero. You know, there's all this stuff that we remember as a kid in the way that it was, probably better than it really was. But we don't want a modern take on that thing. We want that original take preserved as much as reasonably possible. And that's not what they did with Masters of the Universe Revelation. Now, we could say that, you know, in the second half of the first season, He-Man could come back and just totally dominate the screen and be amazing. Sure, that's possible. That's what Kevin Smith keeps alleging. But when you kind of go to war with the fans, it's very curious. I wish I knew, like, for a fact why people do this. It's like, if you really understood the fandom, right? If you really wanted to make something for He-Man fans, you never would have made He-Man Master of the Universe Revelation. You wouldn't have written it this way. You wouldn't have treated Prince Adam like a bumbling idiot. You wouldn't have cut him out of his own show for the first six episodes for the most part. You just wouldn't have done these things. Yet I'm supposed to believe that Kevin Smith, you know, the guy who really hasn't done anything of note in 25 years, is just a huge fan of Masters of the Universe and he totally understands the fandom. And when he says stuff like, it's just a vocal minority of people. But where is the majority of people? If a vocal minority, and I would argue that 3,000 negative reviews on Rotten Tomatoes is a minority. That show had to be watched by at least 100,000 people. So the fact that 100,000 people consumed the product and only 3,000 left negative reviews, yeah, you can make the argument that that's a negative or a vocal minority. Except, where is the majority? Where is anything in any meaningful numbers? If the number of people that enjoyed He-Man just so vastly outweighs the number of people that were disappointed in it, why is there, like, no positive reviews? Like, usually, most of the 4- and 5-star reviews are like, take this, chuds. Now, there are people who enjoyed it. Great and fun watch. Not the greatest, but the 80s cartoon wasn't either. But really darn good. Totally a fun watch and worth the time to see it 5 episodes. See all 5 episodes before judging it. Left a 5-star review. I think that Kevin Smith cut him, you know, he set himself up for this fan outrage. And because it seems like, by his own admission, Netflix doesn't care about negative reviews because they're good press, maybe it was all on purpose. You know, I'm starting to think that when we look at the last time that we had this kind of existing fandom backlash at this level, it was for The Last Jedi. And it almost feels like they do that on purpose to spin the narrative of the toxic fandom and gatekeepers, and they don't like strong, independent women who don't need no man. But you get all these headlines now. Grow the F up. Director Kevin Smith has something to say to He-Man review brigaders. Again, they're just lying about this. 3,000 negative reviews is nothing. And we talked about this yesterday. I was surprised to see, you know, IMDb being used so much. But even here, you have 12,000 reviews where only 4,000 of them are giving it a 1. And you have 2,400 giving it a 10. So I guarantee these 2,500 tens are review brigading as well. It's not the same thing. And when you say this stuff, you tell people to grow up, bro, your entire business model relies on us not growing up. You get that, right? By telling your fans, grow up, well, then we wouldn't be watching Masters of the Universe Revelation, would we? We'd be watching some documentary on snails. Or better yet, be outside spending time with our families. Touching the grass. Grow the F up. Like, that blew my mind. Bunch of people like, oh, I smell it. This is a bait and switch. But it is. He did bait and switch. Quote, do you really just hate your target audience? Asks 1-star reviewer. You took something that was meaningful and held a considerable amount of value for so many people and destroyed it. Well, I couldn't agree more.
Chapter 4. Blizzard's stock is plummeting. Employees are threatening to walk out in protest, and chaos is unfolding.
Yikes, it looks like things are getting worse for Blizzard at a rapid pace. And I can't say I'm not taking a small amount of joy in it, but as I talk to more and more Blizzard employees, I'm taking less and less joy in it because it's humanizing it. I may strongly disagree with the corporation that is Blizzard, Activision Blizzard, but most of the people that work there are great, and I'm sure that they're suffering just as much. But the news does go on. A walkout is scheduled for tomorrow, and now a call for a strike at Blizzard has hit as its stock plummets. If we look at the 5-day for the Blizzard stock, absolutely brutal. Down nearly 10%, 8.6%, drops nearly 10%, losing millions in market cap. You take a 10% drop in a $65 billion market cap, you lose billions of dollars. Billions erased in just one day. On top of Blizzard employees now call for strike after lawsuit. Employees at Activision Blizzard are calling for a walkout on Wednesday to protest the company's response to the lawsuit and demanding more equitable treatment for underrepresented staff. See, here's where they're going to blow it. This is what I'm concerned with. If this goes away from people who have bad things happen and need to be believed and bad people need to be fired to, well, the oppression Olympics, they're going to blow it. If you really care about change at the company, don't start making this about marginalized this and that. No, everybody works at Blizzard. This is about everybody. Okay, if you allow a few people to turn this into, well, actually, this color of person's actually more oppressed, so we should... No. Don't be idiots. Infuriated Activision employees have spoken out on social media, and more than 2,000 staff have signed an open letter calling the company's response abhorrent and insulting. Now they're planning a strike. The walkout is being organized by a group of employees at the subsidiary Blizzard Entertainment, where the majority of the lawsuit allegations were focused. In a statement to Bloomberg, the workers said that their goal was to improve conditions for employees at the company, especially women, and in particular, women of color and trans people, non-binary. No! You're going to blow this. You're going to let them off the hook. The strike will take place outside of Blizzard's campus in Irvine, California on Wednesday. Well, a walkout or a strike, which is it? The employees are demanding Activision ditch mandatory arbitration clauses in all employee contracts, current and future. That's never going to happen. New practices for recruiting, interviewing, hiring, and promotion that facilitate better representation agreed upon employees in a company-wide diversity, equity, and inclusion organization. That will happen. The publication of data on relative compensation, promotion rates, and salary ranges of employees of all genders and ethnicities at the company. That's never going to happen. That a diversity task force be allowed to hire a third party to audit the company's leadership hierarchy and HR department. That's fine. I think that might happen. The second major organizing effort in Blizzard in about 12 months. Last year, employees shared their salaries on a public spreadsheet and sent a letter of demands to management to ask for more equitable compensation. That action led to very little response, employees said. Again, because they're going about this all wrong. I know that there's no like easy guide to getting around this and navigating these waters. But if you try to like turn this from employee rights to 5 employees' rights, you're gonna blow it. OK, Okay, listen to me, Blizzard. I know thousands of your employees, Blizzard Activision, will watch these videos. Hundreds guaranteed. If you're taking part in these demonstrations, if you allow it to go from workers' rights to a few workers' rights, you're gonna blow it. Collective action is rare in the video game industry, which has no unions in the North America. In North America, representative for Blizzard employees organization with this walkout said they were not currently discussing unionizing. This on top of via Wowhead. Here's the statement of intent. Activision Blizzard's employees are staging a walkout in protest of the official handling of the suit that the company is facing to call for improvement in working conditions for employees, especially those from marginalized groups. Here's a statement of intent. Given last week's statement from Activision Blizzard and their legal counsel regarding the DFEH lawsuit, as well as a subsequent internal statement from Francis Townsend that, and many of the stories shared and credit former employees at Activision Blizzard, since we believe that our values and employees are not being accurately reflected in the words and actions of our leadership. As current Activision Blizzard employees, we are holding a walkout to call an executive leadership team to work with us on following demands in order to improve conditions for employees at a company, especially women, and in particular women of color and transgender women, non-binary people, and other marginalized groups. No! You're going to let them... Oh, my God. Like, this is the problem. This is a problem. If you turn this in to the Oppression Olympics, they will run you over. They'll say, okay, we'll give these three trans employees that we have a little pay bump. All right, cool. Everybody happy? An end of mandatory arbitration clause in all employee contracts. Again, that's not happening. The walkout will take place Wednesday, July 28th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We'll meet in front of the main gate of the Blizzard campus. We will not enter the Blizzard campus due to current COOF restrictions. Parking should be restricted to the open parking lot of the buildings 5 and 6, and there are no gates to access it. Employees unable to meet in person may lend their voice to the walkout by stopping work and sharing their participation on social media with the ActBlizWalkout hashtag. If you belong to a different studio, please feel free to customize the hashtag your walkout. Will this do anything? No. Because I can already see they're going to blow it. They're going to blow it by making this about who's the most oppressed rather than focusing on the big picture. This is what they want. This is what they want. They'll just allow you to infight, to figure out who's the most oppressed, let you fizzle out, peter out, and then they'll do nothing. Now, the walkout itself could be a pathetic response, or it could be strong. You see here, it's from 10 to 2, employees unable to attend. Turnout is expected to be about 50 or more in person, with many more joining virtually for the sake of the COOF. We are encouraging employees to take whatever time they feel safe to do, an employee rep told Kotaku. Most of us plan to take the full day off without pay, but we understand some people like contractors and associates and those who are paid less than they deserve might not have the ability to do so. The announcement of the walkout is accompanied by a statement of intent that is really dumb. I get that you want to make a statement here, but you got to have some numbers. 150 employees at Los Angeles Riot Games staged a walkout. That's not enough. And you know what? If you're going to start turning this into, well, actually, it's more about these people than these people, than these, you're not going to get the majority involved. And if you don't get the majority involved, you're going to be easy to control and ignore. It's like these people don't actually want change, because if they did, they would understand that. Like, you need to get normies, those evil cis white males that make up 80% of your company. You need them to walk out with you. Now, if you start sticking your finger in their face and say, well, this actually isn't about you, it's about POC, strong, independent women of colors, guess what? Some of them, well, a lot of them are going to feel like, maybe I don't want to risk my nice, cushy job. Maybe I don't want to risk being a pariah. Maybe I don't want to risk getting blacklisted in the industry now. Because this isn't even about me. This is about my cat cult. My culty.
You happy kitty.
He doesn't have his collar on. He's out there prowling.
Where's your collar?
Either way, it doesn't look good for Blizzard stock. Did rebound a little bit, but still massively down. And today, tanking at more than 10 and is not really recovering. I don't think that having a full week of bad press is going to help that. A strike would be devastating. This hurts customers. This hurts the employees. This hurts everybody downstream. Will Blizzard act? Seems unlikely. We'll have to wait and see. Heads are going to have to roll. That's all I can say.
Chapter 5. Remember that YouTuber who deepfaked Luke Skywalker better than the Mandalorian CGI team? We have a very interesting update about that man.
I suppose you could file this under dudes posting their W's as Lucasfilm gets embarrassed by a YouTuber who fixed the Mandalorian, leading to them offering the dude a job. I mean, a lot of people say that I don't provide enough positivity for the positive patties out there, but I assure you, this is a positive tale. Lucasfilm hires a YouTuber who fixed the Mandalorian. The YouTuber's Luke Skywalker was so good, he earned himself a job. The Series 2 finale of The Mandalorian saw the lone bounty hunter complete his mission by delivering Grogu, formerly known as Baby Yoda, into the arms of the Jedi. Of a Jedi, but not just any Jedi. A young Luke Skywalker showed up to the excitement. Then, disappointment of the fans who raised eyebrows at his VFX heavy look. You know what the thing was? You know what I thought was interesting? I don't remember a ton of people getting mad about that. Do you? I mean, I think it was like, I don't know what people would expect. Obviously, it's not a young Luke Skywalker, right? So what exactly is, I don't know. It seems so weird to me. I don't remember a lot of pushback on that. I suppose maybe in the depths of the subreddit or people that specifically are into Star Wars for video effects. Enter the YouTuber known as Shamook, whose Mandalorian CGI, I don't know if I can use that word, published in December, earned nearly 2 million views for improving the video effects used to de-age Mark Hamill. It was so good that he then earned a new gig with Lucasfilm and is in the visual effects division of Industrial Light and Magic. And we can see the original here. I want to go here. So to my untrained eye, what looks different? I suppose the skin looks more natural. I think I would argue that the skin looks more natural and more human and more like Mark Hamill. This looks kind of like Mark Hamill. The hair, everything kind of lightened up a little bit. You know, here it says skin tone is a lot better. This also seems to add more textures to the face. The original just seems like an airbrush to the max. Now you see the fact that you were hired by Lucasfilm after making this makes it so much better. Making videos on YouTube doesn't get you a job. Hold my beer. Much better than a $1 billion company. What a great thing for, big now, but not like a multi-million subscriber channel. It's 80,000. Good for you. Lucasfilm hires the creator who puts Luke, Leia, and Tarkin cameos to shame. They didn't age well, but he can help. I recently rewatched Rogue One, a Star Wars story. It mostly held up, except for Lucasfilm's attempt to bring Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia, and Peter Cushing's Grand Moff Tarkin back on the big screen using CGI. That's something that only bugged me in the tiniest bit at the time I first watched it. But Lucasfilm Industrial Light and Magic may now have the ability to make these movies a tad more future-proof because of it. They hired a YouTuber who specializes in CGI versions of Star Wars and other big-budget movies. Showing up their CGI de-aging techniques, Shumook is the one who, quote, fixed Luke Skywalker's cameo in The Mandalorian to the tune of nearly 2 million views, and the improvement to Rogue One's Tarkin are phenomenal. Peter Cushing was certainly thin in the role, but he no longer looks quite so emaciated. Instead of ordering YouTube to yank the content or sending cease and desists, IndieWire now reports that Lucasfilm decided to hire him instead to do what they apparently love. Industrial Light and Magic is always on the lookout for talented artists, and in fact hired an artist that goes by the online persona, Shumook. A Lucasfilm representative told IndieWire, over the past several years, ILM has been investing in both machine learning and AI as a process to produce compelling visual effects. It's been terrific momentum. In the YouTube comments on a recent video, Shumook says that their title is now Senior Facial Capture Artist. I mean, I think that this is a W for YouTubers. And, you know, by the way, I'm going to give this dude a subscribe. This person, I guess I don't know if it's a man or woman. And they haven't uploaded. Oh, these are popular. So they uploaded twice. Robert Pattinson as Batman, Eric Bana as Mark Ruffalo. This is their thing. And what is a Charlize Theron as Captain Marvel? That would be nice. I have to say, I'm really proud of them. I just, you know, as a YouTuber, for me, my passion is, you know, interacting with all of you and trying to, you know, put up a good fight for issues that are both important to me and my viewers. But I've never been like technologically really, really good at any particular thing. You know, back in the day, I used to build computers, which was cutting edge for a living, by the way. Now, I don't even understand everything that's going on in modern PC builds with liquid cooling and everything like that. I've become everything I used to mock back then, buying a fancy Origin PC instead of building it myself. It's become overwhelming for me. But, you know, what I get out of YouTube is interacting with people. But it's so good to see somebody who, I mean, quite frankly, hasn't been around long. Neither has this technology, obviously. And now has a job working for Lucasfilm. I don't know that they were or are a big Star Wars fan or not. Maybe they just applied their existing technology to whatever was popular at the time. And Lucasfilm will probably just steal their technique and fire them. But hey, I think this is just a huge W. You know, in terms of the grander scheme of things for The Mandalorian and Lucasfilm properties, I still find myself pretty jaded, pretty bummed out over the way everything shook out with Gina Carano. The high highs of, you know, seeing Luke Skywalker come in and having just an epic beatdown of, all the enemies and, you know, the robots that were brigading or, you know, certain death facing Grogu and the others, to having Cara Dune's character and Gina Carano unceremoniously fired. It sucks because I really thought that The Mandalorian was really pretty good overall. Now we have season 3, The Mandalorian. Season 2 premiered October 30th, 2020, with each season wrapping December 18th after screening 8 episodes. The news regarding the third installment as of late April 2020, sources claim that Favreau have been writing the third season of the action-adventure drama. According to the report, the upcoming season was already in pre-production stage since the team required a huge lead time. In July 2021, it was confirmed that the upcoming edition had begun filming, but still an exact premiere date has not been announced. I would argue that there's a lot of characters that we're going to see in season 3 of The Mandalorian, but until I see Cara Dune, I just won't feel the same way about it. But huge shout out to a YouTuber getting out there, turning their passion into something Please don't stop making YouTube videos. Always keep doing that. Keep refining your task so that you can get out of there. But, you know, working for Lucasfilm's not a bad resume patter for you. Hope you enjoyed this video. We'll talk to you again real soon.